We're going to go old-fashioned this morning, but I just decided what I'll do this morning is I'll give my testimony, because let's put up on the screen, Dr. Kukar didn't have the privilege of seeing my picture this morning. There you go, Doc. How you feel there? Makes you feel better? Give you enough warm and fuzzy. Anyway, I'm 64 years old today. I was born on June the 4th, 1959, in Lebanon, Kentucky, at Mary, see if you figure out what kind of environment I was raised in. I was born June the 4th, 1959, at Mary Immaculate Hospital in Lebanon, Kentucky. Baptized as an infant and sent to St. Augustine Catholic School as a youngster. Amen? But that's not, and I think my mom passed away, and I didn't get a chance to ask her today. Can't talk to people after they've gone up to be with the Lord. But I think I was born in the afternoon. But it really don't make any difference. I was born. But you know, that's not the most important birth. There's another birth that's more important than the natural birth. It's called the new birth. It's called being born again. Now, I'm going to have some help this morning. So I'm going to open up John's Gospel, chapter 3. You're going to have your Bible with you this morning. John, chapter 3. So I was born naturally June the 4th, 1959, but that won't get the job done. Can I get some kind of a chorus of amens here? Amen. I'm back. That won't get the job done. Now, thank God I was born, but Jesus said there has to be another birth. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a religious man. Religion meets Christianity in John chapter 3. This man came to Jesus by night. Wonder why he came to him by night. Anybody know why they would come to him by night and not by day? Trace? He didn't want anybody to know he was talking to Jesus. Amen? He didn't want anybody to know he was talking to him. Now Nicodemus turns out to get saved and everything. But this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, if this was Nicodemus and Mark Browning, after Nicodemus made that statement, I would say, oh, yes, you are correct. What a man I am. Let me tell you the one thing I think that's happened to me most definitely in my 64 years. And we're going to have to do the math. I was born again in 1978. Add up 78 to 6 to now. 45 years ago, I was born again. I'm going to tell you one thing, and I don't know if people recognize it as much as I do, but the one thing that will happen to you if you stay connected to the ministry is on some level, you will get humble. Now, you may not want to get humble. Humility is going to come your way, because I'm going to tell you something, boys and girls. The devil don't like preachers. The devil don't like preachers. And so I use this illustration humorously, because if in the past, if somebody had come up to me and said, Mark, you're a great Bible teacher. And by the way, I've had many, many people say that to me that I never hardly ever see anymore. That humbles you. But there would be a time when they'd say, Mark, you're one of the best Bible teachers in Sierra Vista. And I'd say, you just mean just Sierra Vista? What about the United States? Well, that's too... Give me more credit than that, Keith. Praise the Lord. There's not a whole lot of competition. Anyway, I would have said, well, thank you, Nicodemus. I know I am pretty good. But Jesus goes right to the heart of the issue. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everybody say that verse with me. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is religious. Nicodemus is natural. And Nicodemus says this back to him. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? How many of you ladies out there want your kids to come back and y'all do it over? I went through two of them with trees. The one with Anna was an absolute nightmare. It was a nightmare. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anybody in that much pain. And she told me about halfway through that she didn't think she was going to be able to do it. And I said, honey, as far as I can tell, you don't really have an option. Now, the other one back there, they gave her an epidural real early in the process. And she was doing real fine. We were talking and dancing and singing. The Final Four was going on. Kansas was playing Maryland back in 2002. And all of a sudden, that epidural wore off. And she looked at me and she said, get this out of me as quick as you can. I said, well, let me get right on it. Y'all don't want that. So Nicodemus thinks, well, I can't get back in my mama's womb and be born. So he's thinking naturally, right? He's thinking about the flesh. He's thinking about what you can see. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's the natural birth. Everybody comes out of the womb. The womb's protected by water. This has nothing to do with baptism. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. In other words, you got to be born once naturally, but you got to be born again supernaturally. Woo! Can you say amen? He cannot. Everybody say cannot. Cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now here it is. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, on June the 4th of 1959, I came out born of the flesh. Sometime in July, and I regret that I didn't write the date down, but I know it was July of 1978, between Loretta, Kentucky, and Lebanon, Kentucky, about 3 miles out of Loretta, I went down a little road, Highway 49, I think it is, singing, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And I went down into a little dip in the road as an old creature, and I came up on the top of the road as a new creature in Christ. And I completely screwed everything up. I made an absolute mess of just about everything I touched. But I will tell you one thing. I was happy. I was full of joy. I knew that Jesus lived. I knew I was saved. I knew I didn't want to smoke Marlboro cigarettes anymore. I knew I didn't want to drink Pabst Blue Ribbon beer anymore. I wish I knew I didn't want to be with girls anymore. But I didn't get totally sanctified. Can I get an amen, Jan? But I tell you what I didn't have. See, I tell you what we didn't have. We didn't have a foundation. We didn't have a church. I didn't have anybody to grab me by the neck and say, now, son, you're saved. Now, stay home for a couple of weeks and learn a few things instead of going out there and making a fool of yourself. But anyway, God, in His mercy, helped me a little bit. But the flesh is born of the flesh. But notice this, the Spirit, your human spirit, is born of the Holy Spirit. You are a spirit being. The reason why people are struggling so mightily with Christianity, and the reason why Christianity is impossible to live, if you don't know what I'm going to tell you, is because this book is not written to your flesh. This book is not written to the natural man. This book will do you no good if you're going to try to, by willpower, do what it says to do. This book will only set you free when you let it speak to your recreated, reborn human spirit made in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ Himself. And every church person that's born again, that goes to church this morning, ought to be taught this truth. And every Bible teacher and every preacher needs to minister to the spirit of man, not the flesh of man. Don't tell somebody that he don't need to be smoking cigarettes. Everybody knows they don't need to be smoking cigarettes at some point. Tell them they're a new creature in Christ and cigarettes don't have dominion over you anymore. Preach from the Spirit out, not from the flesh in. That's why we're all bound up. That's why we're all guilty. That's why we all got a guilty. I got a guilty conscience. And you shouldn't have a guilty conscience. Listen to me. Oh, Al, I hope you can handle this. I hope you can.
Pray for me,
brother. You may run out to the car on this one. Even if you're sinning, you shouldn't have a guilty conscience. If you'll let me explain that to you, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because your spirit man has been made perfect. It's in union with Jesus. It's in union with the Holy Spirit. And it will never be contaminated by sin. And what you tell a person that's struggling with sin is you tell them who they are in Christ. You don't tell them who they are in the natural. They already know it. I already know I pretty much screw up every day naturally. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity has nothing to do with doing enough good things to get God's favor. Christianity is the reality of God doing in you what you couldn't do, and He does it in you when you allow Him to do it by faith through grace. This is why I want you to continue to pray for me. I want you to continue to lift me up. I want you to continue to ask God's mercy upon my life, because anybody that knows what I know needs to tell it to people, because few people understand it and know it. And again, I'm not saying that to boast me up or build me up. And on some level, God knows I'm not lying. On some level, I wish I was stupid on some of these things. Really. But I know some things. I've been revealed some things, and I have to share with people the good news of Jesus Christ and tell you that you're a new creature in Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I guess let me give my testimony. I got plenty of time. So anyway, I was born again in July of 1978. Get over to 2 Corinthians. Boy, I haven't ever done it like this in a long time. It's kind of fun, though. I kind of feel like one of them TV preachers. You know, they got their stuff up here. Anyway, I was born again in July of 1978. We had gone through a family crisis. My oldest sister, who we struggled together personality-wise, our personalities just do not jive. Anybody, y'all got anybody in your family like that? Well, I hope it ain't your husband or wife. I don't want it to be your husband or wife, but you got anybody in your family, you're in a room with them for 10 minutes and it's like, can I please go home? I love her, but bless her heart. Anyway, I guess when I was about freshman, sophomore in high school, 14, 15 years old, her husband committed suicide. And he was a thug. He was a complete thug, a total thug. He actually did her a favor. If he wasn't going to get born again, he actually did her a favor. But anyway, through the process of that, that sent her and my mother on a search for some reality. You know, it broke her heart, and it sent them on a search for truth. And they ended up at a Bible study at St. Catherine's College. So you can tell I'm in the middle of a Catholic community. And if any of y'all are listening, I'm not against Catholic people. I love Catholics. I was a Catholic. I started the point guard for the 7th and 8th grade St. Augustine Cardinals. Me and Jordan hold the record in our family for scoring the most points. One time we both scored 22 points in a basketball game. Mine were more spectacular than his, and I met wonderful people, and we had a better education than the public schools. We absolutely had a better education. One reason you have a better education in a Catholic school is that there are nuns that'll walk around with this stick. And they won't just point this stick at you. They will literally take this stick and hit you in the head with it. I shall never forget, as long as I live, Joe Abel in the second grade. I mean, I'm going all the way back to the second grade. I don't know what the boy did. But this Christian nun, this Catholic nun, grabbed that boy by the hair and drug him across the room and threw him in the broom closet. Now, let me tell you something. For the rest of the day, there wasn't nobody that misbehaved. No, sir. If she said, open your book up to chapter 6, page 34, boom. And we kept wondering, when's he going to get out of there? But we learned, and we had great camaraderie. But I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about the gospel. So anyway, they went to this Bible study at St. Catherine's College, led by a spirit-filled nun. This was right in the middle of the Catholic charismatic move, one of the great moves of God of all time. Jerry was part of the Jesus movement. Yeah, I believe this was all an offshoot of that. And so they went to this Bible study, and they got born again. And they come home talking about Jesus. And you got to give your life to Jesus. And you got to read the Bible. And I'm 18 years old, and I'm dating the prettiest girl in Marion County. Now, I know that is hard to believe, because I ended up getting the prettiest girl in Cochise County. I mean, how can somebody do that twice? Boy, have I covered myself properly. But I was literally dating the prettiest girl in Marion County, and nobody could understand what she could see in me. Nobody could. I mean, we should show that picture of me in the creek. I weigh about 120 pounds. I got a Marlboro in my hand in the creek and pimples all over my face. And she thought that was the sexiest thing she'd ever seen in her life. So she was a year younger than me. And so I graduated, but she would say, or people would all the time see her in the hall, and they would say, how in the world does Mark Browning get her? And I would just go, but anyway, she had had a religious experience herself, and she kept telling me that there's more to Christianity than what I think about, and blah, 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 and so I'm thinking, man, no, not now. We're not going to do this Jesus thing now. I'm 18. I'm going to live forever. Now, today I'm 64, and that seems like 2 weeks ago. Can I get a testimony from anybody out there? Seems like 2 weeks ago. I said, no, not now. Not ready for it now. But you know, a fascinating thing happened. A guy that I really did respect, my father, a guy I really respected, really liked, fine man, worked hard, had a great personality, chain smoked cigarettes, chain drank coffee, weighed 535 pounds. No, he's a good guy. You know, he got saved and he started talking about Jesus. And I said, now, wait a minute now. These women, you know, they're just all excited because they need some help. But Daddy believes it? And so Mama, and I could tell you all kinds of things about it, but Mama started having Bible studies in her living room. And revival broke out in Marion County. And some of the classiest, most prominent ladies, I'd say 30 or 40 people, would meet in that living room. And they would praise God and sing hymns. And I started leaving lunch at the Key Market, where I was the assistant manager, where what I had on my belt was a set of keys. You could hear me walking miles away. I'd come down there walking with my keys on my chain. And being the assistant manager of the Key Market meant that if there was a spill on aisle 16, it was my job to clean it up. And because you're the assistant manager, you know what else we're going to let you do? We're going to let you take the bank bag to the bank at night at dark. How dumb was I, really? I think about all the times how stupid I was. And so I would go home at lunch, and I didn't tell anybody, but I'd go home to listen to those women sing. And one of the songs they would sing was, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Let's sing it. He is Lord. Come on, can anybody carry a tune? He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then they would do this, and you're my Lord, you're my Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you're my Lord. And my knee shall bow, and my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And my mama come out of that room one day, and she pointed her finger at me. And she said, son, you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to know Jesus. It's not enough what we've been doing. You got to know Jesus. And I looked at her and I said, Mama, I know that's right, but not right now. Not right now. But I dropped my girlfriend off one July, beautiful, glorious summer evening, gave her a kiss that she'll probably never forget. I don't know if she'll ever get over it. It was probably the greatest kiss anybody's ever given. I remember that she turned around and looked at me in awe and said, bye. And I got in my 1976 Mercury Comet. It had been wrecked, and so if you didn't keep your hand on the steering wheel with complete and total strength, you would veer off the road. My dad bought it for me and handed me the payment book. It had four windows, an air conditioner, and a radio. That's all it had. I got in that Ford Comet, and I backed up, and I went down that road. And I began to think about Jesus. And I began to think about that song. And I began to think about my daddy, and I began to think about all these people that are trying to talk me into coming to the Lord. And I started singing that song, and I was born again. And again, I was so bad. I was so stupid. I thought it was my mission in life to save the Catholics. How many of you know that's not my job? It kind of reminds me of the story of the little girl, or it reminds me of the story of the guy that went to church, you know, and he didn't look the part. You know, he had long hair and tattoos, smelled like he had been smoking some cigarettes. Had a little alcohol in his breath, and the church asked him to leave. He was standing out in front of the church door there, and the Lord Jesus appeared to him. He said, what's wrong, son? He said, I'm just kind of heartbroken. He said, I got up this morning, I went to church, and they've kicked me out. Jesus said, son, don't worry about it. I've been trying to get in there for 15 years. But I thought it was my mission to save all the Catholic people and bring them the truth. And I found out they weren't interested in what I had to say. And I found out the best thing for me to do is to live Christianity and to find people that are like-minded, find people that believe in the Bible, believe in the Scriptures, believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Get acquainted with those people. Get acquainted with people that will tell you, simmer down now, son, you're not all that spectacular. Of all the things that ever happened in my life, the one thing that I wish people had never done for me, and my mom was bad about it, my dad was kind of bad about it, they glorified me too much and puffed me up too much. That's what I like about Teresa. She don't ever do that. But I thought I was somebody, and I tell you something right now, friends, I wasn't anybody. I was an accident waiting to happen. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would have been nothing but a complete flop. But I got Jesus in my life, and I got to reading that Bible. I figured, well, I'm a Christian. I might as well read it. My grandmother, Anna Kay Smith, oh, I loved that woman. I loved her. I spent a lot of time with Anna Kay. We named Anna after her, Anna Kay Smith. She was everybody in our family were Catholics. But for whatever reason, whenever Billy Graham would come on TV, She would make everybody stop whatever they were doing and watch Billy Graham. And Billy Graham would come on. We'd all gather around the TV and we'd watch Billy Graham. I'd just watch it. And so now I've had this experience. I'm born again. My spirit's been born again. I know Jesus. And I don't know where I was, but at one point, Billy Graham came on TV and I turned around and I said, my gosh, how long's that man been preaching the gospel? Because you don't know spiritual things until your spirit's lit by the Spirit of God. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Every person has to have the Spirit of God. God breathed on the inside of them, and they become a new creature. Old things have passed away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation. Say that, everybody. I'm a new creation. You've been made in the image and likeness of God. And this is not some halfway created thing. This is fully made in the image of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Look at these words. Ephesians 4, verse 24. Well, let's pick it up in verse 21. Listen to this. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth. Listen to this. As the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, this is the mistake we've made theologically. This is what I got to get ministers to understand. You don't have to get somebody righteous. You don't have to get somebody holy. You have to tell a born-again, spirit-filled child of God that they are righteous and they are holy. And the more you tell that to a born-again person, the more they'll rise to that level. But if you keep telling them what a rat they are, that's what they'll get down to. And I didn't know this for a long time. And I preached condemnation for a long time. I preached faith. I did a good job of preaching faith. But I beat people up by condemning them because I didn't see that they were operating their faith adequately. And I finally dawned on me the thing to do was to tell people who they are in Christ and preach to the inner man and preach to the spirit and let them rise up to the level of what God intended them to be. More than conquerors through him who created us. If he didn't spare his own son, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? I've been going through some stuff and some people have offered me some material, but I don't buy it. I don't buy what they're offering. I don't buy that God is somehow involved in depression and sorrow and disease and turmoil. I understand he'll be with you. I understand he'll comfort you, but I don't buy that he had it purposed in my life to do something better for me. No, I buy the fact that if that's going on, it's because you've lost contact and you've lost sight of who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is the God in me than the devil that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. None of those verses work unless you understand who you are in Christ, unless you understand that you're a spirit being. You have a soul. It's made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Can you tell I've been listening to Spirit, Soul, and Body by Andrew Womack? Do you know you can go on the line and call that number today and he'll give you that book for free? Get that book for free if you put money in the offering basket here, because then you're part of our donation. But if you're not putting money in the offering basket, pay for the book. Praise the Lord. It's exciting. And that's what's happened to us. We have become entrenched in the world, and because we're entrenched in the world, our spirit is laying dormant. Even though it's not, even though we don't, it's never really is. Let me read you this verse. This is fascinating. This is the verse the Lord spoke to me last night. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Watch this now. I'm going to incorporate this in communion because it's everybody's birthday today if you're born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Watch this now. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is the balance of the Bible. And this is another thing that I probably didn't do enough of, was balance out a few things. Listen to this. Therefore, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Everything about life is based on the heart. It's based on the heart. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. It's with the heart one believes. Jesus said, from the heart perceive evil things. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, listen to this, yet the inward man, the spirit, the candle of man, the man that God has contacted and made a new creature, that man is renewed. How often? Day by day. Day by day. Somebody said, I don't feel it. It's got nothing to do with feeling. See? That's the problem, and that's the reason why this is so difficult. The spirit of man does not do anything based on feeling. The spirit of man does everything based on faith. It's faith that pleases God. Adam and Eve were faith people until they sinned in the Garden of Eden. They heard the sound of God walking in the cool of the day. Faith left their spirit, but faith back in our spirit, because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. I can't get it all taught in one Sunday. That's why you got to keep coming back. Amen. Listen, verse 17. Now listen, yet the inward man, verse 16, yet the inward man is being renewed. How often? For our light affliction is but for a moment. Which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'll tell you one thing that happened to me, and I'm getting through this, but I began to read the Bible sincerely and honestly and openly. And I realized in my own life how short I've fallen. And the condemnation from that came from the devil. Didn't come from God. See, one of these books this guy gave me is God not only lifts up, but he also condemns. No, the Holy Spirit's not a condemner. He's an uplifter. Now, he'll try to correct you about some things. But I realized that when I read the Bible, I realized that really and truly I didn't tell everybody the whole story. And I wasn't telling myself the whole story. Because true Christianity is not about this life. And we've made it way too much about this life. And about what we get in this life. And about what we should expect in this life. And about how wonderful everything ought to be in this life. No, things will never be wonderful in this life, because as long as the devil's still alive, and he is, and roaring, he's going to make it tough on Christians, because he hates God, he hates Jesus, and he hates us. And we have connected more to his kingdom than we have to the kingdom of God. And when I say we, I said we. Me. I've confessed to Al. My biggest weakness in my Christian walk is my prayer life. I'll read my Bible. I read it last night. I read all four accounts of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's breathtaking. Can you imagine that they beat him and whipped him and scourged him and cursed him and spit all over him and twisted a crown of thorns on his skull? And he was so beaten and hurt that they had to get a man from Cyrene, Simon, to help carry that cross. And they got him to Golgotha. And when they got him to Golgotha, they were going to nail his hands and feet to that cross. And he was bleeding from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And Isaiah says that he was unrecognizable. And you know what he said? You can't get it without knowing him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because what they're doing is they're letting me pay the sin for all of them, so that you can give them my holiness and my righteousness. And that's why it is a disgrace when a minister preaches condemnation to Christians. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be lived by those of us who live from our spirit and not our soul and our mind. Stand up on your feet. We're going to have communion. We're going to sing that "We Are Messenger" song again as we have it. And then I want us to come up, and all I want you to think about is the fact that you're a new creature. You're a new creature. Amen. Praise God. Sarah's mom's here with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. My dear sweetheart that loves me. Amen. She loves me. Man, anybody that loves me, I go attach myself to them. Hallelujah. How many of you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How many of you are new creatures in Christ? You're new creatures. Hallelujah. This cup and this bread represents the new covenant. Everybody know that? That's the new covenant. The new covenant. Hold the bread out and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am a new creature. You do live in me. I am holy. And I am righteous because of you. Because of what Jesus did for me. As I receive this bread, I rebuke sickness, disease, depression, anxiety, strife, because it was all put on Jesus so I could be free. By faith, I call myself free. It don't have the greatest taste in the world, does it? Amen. But that don't matter. It represents great things. Amen. As you read the story of what Jesus went through, you know, he started bleeding actually in the Garden of Gethsemane. He actually started bleeding because the pressure of the moment came on him to such a degree. You're talking about stress. Knowing he's going to be the sin bearer of the whole world when he's already asked the Father, the Creator of all things, the God who made everything, he's already asked him. He said, now wait a minute, now you genius. You the man. You know everything. I mean, one of the angels told Mary, nothing's impossible with God. He said, wait a minute, if there's another way, let's do it. How about let's do it? Wasn't no other way. Wasn't anybody's blood that was worth it except his. His was perfect, sinless, spotless. I like this the best. Divine. That blood had enough in it to pay for all the sins of all the world, past, present, and future, for all time. Amen. And he went into the most holy place with it, with his own blood. Woo! Angels bowed prostrate as he went in there. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I'll tell you, dogs and cats would get happy if they heard me preach. You ought to start bringing your dog. They'd bark louder than y'all do. Praise God. That's what this cup represents. It represents the blood of the covenant. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, but he prepared a body for him. And so when they twisted that crown of thorns on his head and he bled, it was for us. When they scourged him with at least 39 stripes, that was for us. When they nailed his hands and feet to the cross, that was for us. When they beat him and hit him so hard that it caused him to be bruised and battered, that was for us. That's how much God loves us. And that's why ministers of the gospel have to get that revelation and quit talking about what we're not doing. And let's talk about what Jesus did. Amen. Hold the cup up and say, Father, this blood represents the blood of Jesus. There's power in that blood. There's salvation in that blood. There's redemption in that blood. Because of that blood, I am free through all eternity. In the name of Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. Amen. Now listen, I know we're on radio and stuff. you got to listen to a really good sermon today and hear some good information. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't wait any longer. I've just gotten back. I haven't had enough time to even talk about all the nonsense going on in the world, but I've got some more information to share. It's still weird and wacky, and you still need to get delivered from it. And you only do that through Jesus. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust because of Jesus Christ. So reach out to Him right now and say this. Say, Dear God, I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of that resurrection. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. So I receive Jesus right now. I confess that He lived, He died, and He rose again. And He did it all for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, the Holy Spirit lit your candle. Woo! The Holy Spirit lit your candle. Woo! The Holy Spirit lit your candle. You're going to wonder why things are a little different. You're going to wonder why if you hear somebody takes God's name in vain, you're going to go, oh man, don't be doing that. You're going to wonder why you don't want to be around dirtbags anymore. Amen. You're going to wonder some things. If you get in the Bible, you'll find out the answer. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We'll see you guys back here Sunday.